You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning is on now.
It is Tuesday, November 29th, 2016. And this is the Roto Experts in the Morning. My name is Greg Sussman, joined as always by the King, Scott Angle, the executive, Corey Parson, and of course, Tony Cincotta as well. Good morning, gentlemen. What's going on, Scotty?
Interesting game last night from a strategic perspective, but I'll get to that in a little while. But I think what we learned the last night, though, is no matter what the matchup, some teams or players can't just take advantage of it.
Sounds like someone's disgruntled a bit. Tony, good morning.
Not at all.
How are we doing? You guys, okay over there? You know, it looks like you got a new spacious environment.
Yeah, we have changed environments here. We've moved upstairs into Studio 34, the unopened Studio 34 still. We're kind of in beta, I would say.
Yes, at 218 West 35th Street.
I didn't want to give us right. We have to give our address now.
Renaissance, because people can look forward to it. You know, it's like, I think the listeners need to know where they are, and, you know, in a few weeks they can come visit us at Rockin' Riley's at Midtown.
You know, they didn't need to right now. You know, I don't want them to see
they want to know what Tony's talking about.
Are you cold?
No, actually, it's not cold in here at all, shockingly.
Oh, good.
It's actually very, very comfortable. It's very comfortable in here, to be honest with you.
It used to be very cold. I used to think they used to keep meat in there.
Yeah, it's a fair question. I can tell you, they're keeping fresh meat, for sure.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, we are here. We're rocking and rolling here on this Tuesday morning on the program today. We'll, of course, go over your waiver wire, your top headlines. We'll look at some snapcaps. And I have an interesting interesting proposition I need to run by you guys and see how legal it is. And I'm very interested in getting everybody's takes because not that I would do this necessarily, but I think it's a pretty fair thing. So we're going to bring that up coming up a little bit later on in the program today. But I do want to start out here with Monday Night Football last night. And you know what? I need to actually fast forward a bit because, you know, Tony, you had, you know, toward the end of the show yesterday, you had talked about how nothing, you know, everything's done, right? It doesn't matter. No matter what you say or what Scott says, it doesn't matter what happens. It's the dumbest question ever is, am I going to win? Right. Like, that means nothing.
Right.
So, with that being said, you and Corey and Benny, I asked him because, you know, I cared. And I was very, very nervous about my situation last night. I'm going to rehash it for everybody again. I was down 20 points with Randall Cobb, Dorial Green-Beckham, and Jared Cook. And I actually, you know what, I'm not going to freak out about this. Whatever's going to happen, happens. It's what you guys tell me. I can't do anything about it. I've already made my own bed. So I said, okay, fine, I'll make my own bed. So I sat there, and, you know, Monday Night Football starts at about 8:30. And I decided to watch Sunday night's episode of Westworld around 8 o'clock. Whatever. I'll be a half hour late to the game or so. No big deal. So 9 o'clock hits. I watch Westworld. And I check the stats. I hadn't looked at Monday Night Football because I didn't want to. Just wanted to see whatever happens is going to happen. And all of a sudden, all right, Randall Cobb's got 4 catches for a bunch of yards. DGB, Dorial Green-Beckham, has 4 catches for a bunch of yards. And then Jared Cook has 1 catch for 7 yards. I'm like, okay, we're moving here. No big deal. I make myself dinner. Instead of turning on the game, I decide to turn on Monday Night Raw. Keep that vibe going, the juju moving. And, you know, I turn on the game a little before halftime. DGB has another catch. Randall Cobb has 2 more catches. And here we are at halftime. And I find out and I figure out and I realize that I am now 3 points away from victory, right? I made up 17 of the 20 points that I needed in that first half. Great. No problem. All I need is what? 2 catches for 20 yards now and a half point PPR to become victorious? No big deal with Randall Cobb, Dorial Green-Beckham, and Jared Cook to come. So I sit there and I watch most of the second half, and I watch, and I watch, and I watch, and nothing. Jared Cook dropped a couple passes. Jared Cook got pulled out from the game. Randall Cobb was looked at and then thrown to somebody else. Dorial Green-Beckham was looked at somewhere else. And I watched Jordan Matthews lead this game right before halftime, and I'm feeling great. And all of a sudden, I see that my guys do not catch a pass for the rest of the game. And I'm sitting here bewildered that I needed 3 points. Three! Trace! Half-point PBR in the second half of this ball game, and I got nothing. Nothing, Scott. Until the very, very end at 11:30.
Garbage time.
Worse than garbage time.
Yeah.
It's 11:15 now, maybe 11:30, and I'm sitting there. And there, the Eagles get the ball back after Green Bay kicks a field goal. Eagles get the ball back. And the first play, Carson Wentz, and I obviously know where my players line up. I see Dorial Green-Beckham lines up on the top of my screen, and Carson Wentz throws it at him, catches the ball. I'm like, I thought that was just a few yards short. It was one catch for 24 yards. I win by 0.16 on that play. And I walk out of here headed to the fantasy playoffs. It was
there. It is
magic.
You love Monday night drama, and you got
woo!
It. Yes.
You know, I know you don't look at standings here or whatnot, but I walked to work today, as I walk to work every day, and I got about a 20-minute walk. And sometimes it feels it's early in the morning. You know, you're feeling, oh, I gotta do. And I'm not that I don't like my job, but like, oh, you know, it's early in the morning. I don't really want to do this right now. I'd rather be, you know, sleeping at the moment. And I'm walking to work, and it's dark out. I gotta walk uphill a little bit. I'm looking at my standings. I'm looking at my matchup. Next thing I know, I'm at 7th Avenue. Like, wow, I'm here. I'm here early today. I was walking on cloud 9 to the studio today because that is what fantasy football can do, people. Oh, my God, that was exciting.
You know what's interesting about what you said, though? It's like, you know, I talk a lot about, you know, not watching, you know, live scoring.
Yes.
You didn't even watch the game.
Oh, I didn't watch the first half of the game because it was going well, Scott. You know, I'm a man of superstition.
Yeah.
So it was going well. Why would I turn
That's
on the
my
game?
Superstition, yeah.
Why would I turn on the game when I'm winning? Just let things go. And then, I turn it on and I can't do anything.
Yeah. Well, you know, fortunately, you won. So, you know, that's all that matters.
Thank you.
Congratulations to
Thank
everybody
you.
That, you know, got a victory and, you know, made the playoffs. I thought what was interesting strategically from this game, perspective-wise, was the way that, you know, that Green Bay sort of coached it up. You could see from the very beginning, they were playing high-percentage football.
Mm-hmm.
They were, you know, high-percentage passes, short routes, trying to dominate time of possession. Dallas Cowboys kind of style, if you will. They dominated time of possession all night, like over 35 minutes, I believe. So what they did was they controlled the clock like the Cowboys would. They kept their defense off the field like the Cowboys would, and with all the injuries they had, including Clay and Matthews going out of the game, that was smart, and they gave themselves a lead to the point where the defense could pin its ears back and come after a young quarterback and blitz him, further protecting the defense. So I thought it was a well-coached, well-executed game plan by Green Bay last night.
Tone?
That game last night, you look at it, James Starks had a big game at the running back position. Like, all the talk all week was Wendell Smallwood and what
sure.
he would do. And all the money that was spent on Wendell Smallwood and Mr. Tight End for the Green Bay Packers, Mr. Cook, it basically just added to the deficit in the United States. And they continue to plunge. And money sought after for nothing.
Yeah, I think we might be seeing the very end of any Jared Cook talk officially after last night. I think going into this week.
What about
was
Smallwood?
Last time. Well, I'll get to that. You know, but Cook first, it's, you know, people spent a lot of money on him. With
sure
Smallwood,
did.
With Smallwood, he, you know, he showed some abilities to break tackles, but he also looked like a young running back last night. I still think he's not going on enough on instinct. I think he's thinking too much about where that next hole is going to develop, and it's closing up too quick.
Corey, you were someone that was saying, hey,
yeah.
Jared Cook, I'm buying Bigfoot.
Yep, I bought into Bigfoot, and Bigfoot did what Bigfoot does. You know what I'm saying?
Why did you buy in? What made you buy in?
Because I figured that the unbalanced offense, the big-time targets, playing with a quarterback caliber of Aaron Rodgers, so I kind of felt as if, you know, a rental for the last for the stretch run. Figured he'd be a double-digit guy in the PPR at the tight end position. And he was Jared Cook. So there you
John
go right
Gruden,
there.
After he caught his first pass, you know how Gruden loves to talk anybody up?
Yeah.
He goes, gets the ball to Jared Cook. Cook is a difference maker.
Yeah, but difference.
Yeah, real difference.
He was a difference maker last
catch.
Night for,
yeah.
For certain.
Yeah.
So everybody out there that took fantasy executive orders, not orders, but advice, and went out there and, you know, spent your money on Jared Cook and threw him in your lineup, and, you know, if you weren't successful, I apologize. You know what I mean? I come straight out and apologize for speaking up Jared Cook so highly. I've talked so down about Jared Cook in the past. I'm quite sure next week we'll come back and have 24 fantasy points, but as far as this past weekend goes, you have the fantasy executive's apologies.
Carson Wentz just has – he doesn't have enough playmakers in that passing game. He was, by the time Matthews went out, it was just like throw the Sproles or nothing else. It's like Green Beckham, you know, had some decent PPR numbers, but he really wasn't a factor. They don't surround Carson Wentz with anything. It's sad.
It's sad.
He's got this.
It's sad?
Give him a chance.
What are you, sad? This guy just was a second overall pick.
Yeah.
He's making millions
of
dollars.
I'm saying, if you listen to what I say, it's sad that they haven't surrounded him with anyone.
It's his first year.
It's his first year.
So far, they haven't surrounded him
with anyone. They didn't even think he was going to start this year.
Yeah, give him a
chance. You know, I think the kid played a good game as he can play last night.
He threw one of the worst interceptions I ever saw in my life.
Well, he overthrew the receiver, but he's got no one to throw to there, really.
It's sad.
What about the kids in Ethiopia?
Yeah. That's sad, Scott.
Yeah, it's so sad for Carson Wentz.
I just think Carson Wentz could have played a much better game if he had any sort of playmakers.
Well, I mean, his playmaker got hurt with an ankle injury in the second.
That's like the only guy. It got sad when he was out.
I'm sad for Russell Wilson having to play behind that offensive line. I'm sad for him.
Russell Wilson's still 7-3-1. You know, the Eagles are not going to make the playoffs.
It's his rookie year. Who cares?
He's got no playmakers around him. That's the point.
They will. This is how a team develops. You draft the quarterback.
I'm talking about now, though.
Oh,
it was sad to watch last night.
Oh, it was, Tony, was that sad for you to watch?
No, not at all, actually. It's so crazy because we sat here, right, and we made our predictions about the game.
Yeah.
And I think we pretty much said the same thing. We like the Green Bay Packers. We have no reason why.
Right.
Like, just, but the bottom line is it was a rookie quarterback. It's Monday Night Football. And you know what? I hate when you throw narratives into play and you don't use anything. But was Aaron Rodgers really going to lose to this Carson Wentz kid on Monday Night Football?
No. You know, I got to give them credit. You know, McCarthy, et cetera. It was a very well-coached-up game plan. Dominate time of possession. Come after the rookie quarterback who's got no playmakers. Yeah, you know, it was a well executed game by Green Bay.
I don't know. It was.
I think we should get a GoFundMe page going for Carson Wentz.
Yeah, I think so too.
That's what it sounds like.
I think we got to put one of those up. Yeah, I think that's a really good. Really, really good point for you here. Let's take a break now. When we come back, we'll keep diving into this game. I know Tony says a really good game for James Starks. He had 41 yards rushing. But, you know, he did have five catches in the PPR.
Oh, yeah, the PPR. Well, if you played the Monday-Thursday game, right?
That's a good spot then.
It came to Ezekiel Elliott was your automatic play, right?
And right.
Then you had the Minnesota running back. You had Wendell Small with Darren Sproles, and James Starks was the guy that comes out of the mix.
Right. Or why can't you put an Aaron Rutkowski?
Well, you could have, I guess, right?
Wow,
the Polish power.
Rushing touchdown for the Packers. How about that?
Yeah, we could have called him the Polish power. Yeah, I wonder if it, you know what? I don't think anyone did that, but now I'm going to go look to make sure nobody had this guy.
Next week, his daily lineup next week, Tony's going to be Rapowski, Gronkowski, Janikowski.
Ethnic.
Yes.
Just Polish. Let's take a break now. When we come back, we'll continue discussing Monday Night Football, including the wide receivers in Green Bay to like, Doriel Green Beckham's value going forward, and if we should cry over the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yes.
We do that when we return. It's the Roto Experts in the Morning here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Tonight, you can chat with the king, Scott Angle, at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, RotoExperts.com. And you'll be able to chat with him if you are a member of the exclusive Edge package, RotoExperts.com. Check out when you use free radio. You can chat with the king, Scott Angle, 7 p.m. Only you and him for less than $10. Pretty good.
Yeah, and you can also check out Michael Waterloo's stock report and Michael Florio's waiver wire column as well.
Yeah, we could do that, but I'd rather just chat with you. Let's be honest.
That's okay.
I'd rather just chat with you. You know, yeah. you're the king.
I think Michael does both the Michael. I like Michael. Great work.
I like Michael Waterloo. I'm more like Michael Florio as a writer.
I can't blame you.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Who's Michael Waterloo?
He's a writer at RotoExperts.com. He's a very good writer. You should check out his stuff.
Oh, he's a guy from Pittsburgh.
Sports Grid, too.
Sports Grid. Okay, yeah. okay.
Yeah.
But he's a very good writer. I actually recommend checking out his stuff. You can ignore Florio's stuff. He just copies what we say.
Yeah,
anyway.
He talks a lot about Tyreek Hill and why he likes him.
Florio or Waterloo?
Waterloo.
All right. If it's Florio, I'd probably ignore him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't blame you there.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah. I appreciate that. Okay, guys, let's get back into last night and kind of dive into it. Did anybody have Aaron Rutkowski in DFS? Do we know that?
I didn't.
Yeah, I did not either.
Tony had multiple lineups, but okay. I don't think he had Rutkowski on there.
All right, fair enough. Yeah. James Starks last night, 17 carries, 41 yards. As Scotty mentioned, they did try to ball control offense Green Bay a little bit. 30 for 39 for Aaron Rodgers. And this feels like, Corey, that these 39 pass attempts are like the least Aaron Rodgers has had in months.
Yeah. More balance to the offense.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? More balance to the offense, a better game plan going in, playing a team they kind of was able to have their way with. So I think that was the reason for that. Didn't see it coming. Thought Philadelphia put up a little bit more of a fight.
Yeah.
I'm not sad about the Philadelphia situation.
It's very upsetting.
I'm not sad about it.
Okay.
Because they went out and got Dorio Green Beckham. They drafted Nelson Aguilar. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Healthy, inactive.
These are mistakes that they made themselves.
Right.
So, you know.
They were the one that employed Chip Kelly, which is why they're in the situation
exactly.
They are.
They had players. They had DeSean Jackson.
Sure.
They had LeSean McCoy.
Yeah.
They had Jeremy Maclin. You know what I'm saying?
Right. You're absolutely right.
So I'm not in no remorse of the Philadelphia Eagles by any stretch of the imagination.
It's very sad. We should probably mourn for this loss. The first loss at home. Like, Carson Wentz's first ever loss at home.
Right. I see how we're going this morning. You're going to keep ridiculing me.
Should we have a little fun with you, Scotty?
Oh, he is, but he keeps ridiculing me.
Do you think it was...
It's like, how would you feel if you had a kickball game and everybody else sucked around
here
you?
Here we go.
You know?
Here we go.
But you didn't play it. Did you play this game last night? I play kickball.
I feel sad for the guy. You know what I'm saying?
You know what, guys? Do you mind turning off our mics for you? This is the Eagles' first loss. Carson Wentz's first loss of his career at home. I'd like to have a moment of silence. I'd like to just have a moment of silence. Carson Wentz,
what a sarcastic snob.
His first loss at home. It's time to have a moment of silence for Carson Wentz's Eagles because he has no weapons.
He doesn't.
Okay. Thank you very much. Yeah. Thank you very much for that opportunity.
I mean, how would you feel as a host if, like, nobody, none of your analysts were, like, you know, good around you?
It would make my job much harder.
Right. Yeah, so it makes Carson Wentz's job harder.
But I'm not,
I thought as an intelligent guy, you might grasp that, but you're too busy being a sarcastic snob to grasp it.
I am an intelligent guy. Scott,
he said what he said.
But you know what, though?
You
if you're going to keep ridiculing me for three minutes going, you know, I'm going to snap back at you.
But you're snapping back at me at something I do in my personal life. I'm snapping back at you. A comment that you're sad that a million-dollar quarterback doesn't have weapons because his team traded them all away. And you're
going
upset
on
for,
and on and on.
You feel bad for
I
team
think
that
it's sad to watch from a football fan perspective.
But it's their fault.
I'm not saying it's not their fault. No matter who created it, it's still sad to watch. I think Carson Palmer can be a better quarterback. Carson Wentz. Well, him too. But
Carson Palmer would be better if he had some good knees.
Hey, Corey, you know what's also very sad now that I think about it? That the 49ers got in this power struggle and got rid of Jim Harbaugh. That was very sad.
That was sad.
I'm not saying here, though.
Wait, do you agree that that was sad?
Yes, but I'm not saying here that I'm not disagreeing. Agreeing with you on whose fault it was.
Right.
I'm just saying, you know, the kid's not in a position to succeed.
You know, it's sad that the Cardinals don't have a quarterback. Otherwise, they'd be pretty good. That's pretty sad.
Yeah.
You know what's sad?
What's sad?
Tony Romo's situation is sad.
Very sad.
That's a sad situation.
Very sad.
Tony Romo, in his last 9 games that he started and finished, his record is 9-1.
Yeah, that's sad. You know what's sad?
Now he hurts his back. He has a Super Bowl team behind him. He hurts his back. He finally has the opportunity to really do
Very
something
sad.
Special. And he's sitting on the sideline with a hurt, with a broke back, and Willie Beeman took over the job from him and running away with it. Now, that's sad.
Very what's sad.
sad is he's going to be remembered as a guy who never won the big one and got hurt a lot. Mm. That's sad.
It is sad.
Very sad.
This kid right here, Carson Wentz, in his 10th game with no wide receivers is not sad.
Yeah.
I was watching that game and that's how I felt.
Yeah. All right.
That was your emotional guy?
You're an emotional guy. I respect it. I'm an emotional guy myself.
No, you're not.
Absolutely am. No. I cry. I'll cry during American Idol.
Really?
Yeah. You hear those nice stories of those kids, and you feel good for them when they make it. Yeah, I tear up.
In front of your girlfriend?
She laughs at me. She thinks I'm the biggest embarrassment ever. I'll cry during the end of TV shows. Couples get together. Oh, yeah, I cry for sure.
Oh, God. Yeah, you can't do that, Greg.
Be honest. Emotional guy,
at
Scott.
At the couples night, Greg is crying Boardwalk Empire.
No, I don't cry, Jeremy.
Tony, did you think this Carson Wentz situation was sad? His fact that he doesn't have
it. Is there anything in football that you can find particularly sad?
Yeah. I find it very sad with the kickers when they all of a sudden lose it, right? And their career goes out like Blair Walsh. That's sad.
That's very
right?
sad. He lost a lot of money. Very sad.
He lost a lot of money. You think about it. You have a skill that you can't use anywhere else. So if you can't make it in the National Football League, like at 30 years old, your life is over.
You know what was also sad, Corey?
What's up?
Blair Walsh missed that field goal in the playoffs. They cost the team that should have won that game an opportunity to move on.
Exactly.
That was sad. Scott, do you think that was sad?
No, Scott didn't think
that was sad.
I think that was
sad.
I think that was wonderful.
I think that was wonderful. That was pretty sad.
That was wonderful. The guy's whole career's gone downhill.
But he thinks it was wonderful.
I think it's great.
He's pretty heartless, this guy.
I think it's
what
great.
What is wrong with you?
Wow, you are heartless.
Yeah, I think the Giants running game is sad.
Agreed.
Yeah.
I agree with that. I think the Seattle offensive line's pretty sad.
I think the Giants have looked pretty sad since they last won a Super Bowl.
Except for the 1-6 in a row right now. That's pretty sad.
Yeah. But I think it's sad that you thought they were going to lose to Cleveland.
I think it's sad you put up 5 points in the Tampa Bay Bucks. That's pretty sad. Yeah.
Ooh.
I think it'd be sad the time that Eli Manning went to Seattle and got a record 11 false starts.
Eli Manning had any of the false starts. You're right. He had a single one.
Sad like when Jane Feely missed 3 field goals.
Oh, what are the time? Yeah. It was sad when the Giants went to Seattle and won. Oh, that was super sad.
That was a long time ago.
That was after the 11 false starts.
That was a long time ago.
The 11 false starts happened before that, by the way.
That was a long time ago. Yeah. I think it's sad how far you have to go back.
You went back farther.
Yeah.
It's nothing sadder than you being a Met fan, though. Now, that's
no. You being a Knicks fan.
All of us being Knicks fans.
All of us being Knicks fans.
Let the barbers be accurate. The Mets are a good team these days.
Oh, really?
But I know you don't watch baseball, so you're not up on it.
Show me a ring that don't say 1986 on it.
They went to the World Series last year.
Thank you.
You don't watch baseball, though. You don't know.
I know
it's sad how you talk about baseball, but you don't know anything about it.
I know the Mets don't have a ring that don't say 1986. The Mets ring say 86 on it.
You root for the Knickerbockers.
That's
the saddest thing of all.
So do you.
I know, but I don't talk crap, about the Knicks.
You talk crap in general, though. He doesn't talk
in general, though.
Yeah.
This guy puts down the Mets. He roots for the Knicks. The Knicks are
so do you.
The Knicks are most embarrassing team.
You also root for the Knicks, though.
I know, but I'm not the one putting down other New York teams.
You just put down the Giants to me.
Yeah, just to fight with you. Yeah. Yeah. The Knicks are the second saddest team in New York sports.
But you are also a Knicks fan. You also have the same pain.
Yeah, but he's making fun of the Mets. The Knicks a lot
but
worse.
But you're making fun of the Giants.
I think it's fun. As a Seahawks fan. I think it's hilarious to make fun of the Mets.
But you don't watch baseball. You wouldn't know whether they're good or they're bad.
I know they don't have a World Series since 1986.
They went to the World Series last year.
I know
you're not informed of that.
Then what happened?
They lost, but at least they got there.
I'm not an at least they got there guy.
Yeah.
I'm a finisher.
Well, you don't watch baseball. You don't know what it takes to make a World Series.
I'm a finisher.
That's the first argument I've seen anyone use. What about the 11 false starts? What the hell was that?
Sorry, Tony.
It's okay. The Giants will be not good again after about a half decade.
Florio never seen the Mets win the World Series or anything.
You never watched the Yankees win the World Series. You don't watch baseball.
2009.
You just read about it in the paper.
Nah.
He doesn't read the paper, dude.
I do read the paper.
You read the paper? Yeah.
Nobody reads the paper.
I don't read the paper.
Except for the New York Daily News.
Yeah,
of course.
Yankees won the World Series. Corey read about it in the Daily News.
I don't think so. He's a big Yankee fan, Corey.
No, he's not. He just wears the hat and he brags that they win.
He's a hater.
Telling the truth.
You're a hater.
He's telling the truth. Corey openly admits he never watches baseball. He thinks it's boring.
He's a hater. I watched it in October.
Yeah. So you really haven't watched it the last few years.
So back to last night here.
Yes.
After a little sidetrack. A little sidetrack there.
No, sometimes it's brothers. You know what I mean? We get into these things.
A little sidetrack there. It was fun. I agree. Yeah. Green Bay's passing game. Very, very interesting last night. So Randall Cobb has 6 catches for 41 yards in the first half, as I described a little bit earlier. Devontae Adams had 3 catches in the first half.
Is he the NFL's most improved player?
I think so.
You see how much Rodgers trusts him to throw those perfect passes to him. I feel like he trusts him more than any other receiver on the Packers right now. His route running, everything, his fundamentals are leaps and bounds over last year.
And, well, I think it's between him and Jameis Winston.
I got to give it to Adams.
In the press conference after the game, too.
What did he do, Tony? I didn't see that.
Oh, he just he was on, like, thank God they didn't interview Aaron Rodgers. You know, after the games on Monday night, they have the guys standing around the field, and Adams was talking about his play last year, this year, the differences, and it was really good. He was into it, and he's going to come a long way.
It's interesting because that trust level, you just spoke about it here, Scotty. Aaron Rodgers trusts him now, and he didn't trust him to make the catch. He didn't trust him to make the right route earlier in his career. And now he's throwing him deep. He's throwing him in major spots. And Devontae Adams is surprisingly catching everything. Corey,
this guy, nobody wanted to draft this
100%.
Year, based on last year.
Correct. Corey, you spoke about it all the time, who the biggest pickup of the year was. Devontae Adams was available everywhere. And he's winning championships.
He's the guy that's going undrafted, and he's definitely come up real big. I think I pull up my wide receiver rankings I'm quite sure he's inside the top 15. Phenomenal season. Like I said, I think he's been, the separation that he gets all of a sudden, not all of a sudden, but now working in the offseason, have Aaron Rodgers' trust. So I don't have him nowhere either, which
I'm
sad about.
Who is more improved, Devontae Adams or Melvin Gordon?
Let's get the poll. Most improved player from this year to last year.
Well, I need more people than that.
Devontae Adams, Melvin Gordon,
give me two more.
Mariota, Winston.
I think quarterbacks are very hard to do.
Okay.
To put in that list. I mean, you need running backs and wide receivers.
Jay Ajayi.
Interesting.
Jay Ajayi works, I guess. Jay Ajayi's a good one. That's not a bad one.
Terrell Pryor?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good,
that's a good one. Too.
I like that one. All right.
Yeah.
Give me those four, Floria. All right,
did he play any wide receiver last year?
A little bit, but he's improved, obviously. Now he's a fantasy monster here.
Yeah, but I'm saying, this is like his first full season as a wide receiver.
But he's improved as a wide receiver from obviously not getting on the field and getting cut by multiple teams to now being a wide receiver one.
Right, fair enough.
There you go. Jordy Nelson yesterday had 8 for 91. He had 12 targets. I think in general, guys, we've criticized Jordy throughout the year, and it's been up and down for him. Come back from an ACL injury. He's had a great year.
He's right there.
He's right there.
He's actually been the top white performer, I think.
let me look into that.
Over Brady, what the hell's wrong with you?
Oh, no, it's Donald Trump.
He's had a great year, Jordy.
I thought it was Lou Mayone.
Oh, boy. You got a mess.
God.
Oh, boy.
Guys, anyway, so Jordy Nelson, please.
Oh, yeah. So let's look at it.
No, I mean, he's had a remarkable year. He's had an absolutely remarkable year.
He was a guy, if you go back, though, the first 3-4 weeks, we were talking about how he was, not healthy.
Yep.
Couldn't get no separation. And so we were down on him, and then he really has turned it up to the last 4 or 5 weeks.
Yeah, I'm looking
at it. There was a 2-week period where he wasn't doing good, and everybody kind of overreacted to that.
Yeah, I'm looking at the numbers for this season, and I tell you what, he is the top Caucasian fantasy point scorer by a long shot. At least that's not a quarterback. So Jordy Nelson's having a hell of a season.
The man wants to be called Jordy Nelson.
Hey, should he get an award for that, Tony?
Yeah, Coming to America Award, Barbershop Award.
Donald was big on pageants, right?
The Rocky Marciano Award. Greg don't like this. I'm sorry, Greg.
Yeah. In weeks 5 through 7, he doesn't have a sense of humor. Week 13, he had only 13 points total, so people kind of overreacted to that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Matt Ryan in the running for the Marcus, for the Rocky Marianne, the Rocky Marciano Award.
I'm sorry. Randall Cobb at 6-41, all in the first half.
He doesn't like this kind of sense of humor, but last week, right, when I listened to Streisand, he goes, "Are you gay?" What a hypocrite.
I'm just saying, there's a lot of gay men that like Barbara Streisand. Right.
Well, let's not do this. Let's move on anyway. Last night, okay, Jordy Nelson.
Why do I have a lisp when you do
it? You sound like Sylvester the Cat.
Kirk Cousins not bad either.
You got to just stop naming. It's a race thing. You can't do a race thing.
No, I'm saying the Rocky Marciano Award.
Like Tony said yesterday, you know, you're still getting used to this vibe, you know?
You'll get there. No. You'll get here where you realize you can't joke about race constantly.
We can. Just did it for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Nobody was offended either.
Except for him.
And after yesterday's poll, race is like way down the list.
Let's not reference that because
took it down?
Unbeknownst to many people, we took it down immediately.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's good.
We're gonna take a break here. I'll explain to Scott during the break what's going on. We'll talk more on Monday Night Football when we come back. Here is another Red Rush. Seems that Scott has gotten over his sadness, so of course.
Yeah. I see you haven't gotten over your snottiness, though.
Yeah. Well, hold on. You can make jokes about race, and I can't make jokes about you crying over the Eagles.
You can, but you'll pay for it, though.
No.
Will I? Hey, yeah. Hold on. I only have like $1 on me, though.
Yeah.
So you only have $1.
I know, but you got major credit cards, 1%er.
What major? I got a couple credit cards. Look at this one. You got one of these? You got one of these, do you? Boom.
What is that?
Oh, yeah. Studio staff. Yeah.
I will get one of those, though.
You like that?
Let me see that. I don't have that.
You got one of these, huh?
I had to take a picture. This is a nice photo, too.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. How about that?
Yeah, we got one of those.
Look at this. This is pretty sturdy,
That's for I had that on Thanksgiving. You guys weren't here. They gave me that to make sure I could get here.
Nice.
Oh, nice job. Take a look at that. Nice tan, too.
Thank you very much. I don't know when that picture was taken. It just showed up.
From one of your weekends in Spain. Yeah.
Do you know, I went to Spain. So I went to Spain for I think, like 10 days.
Yeah.
For the first time in my life.
2 years ago.
I do want to go back. There's a lot here I want to talk about the game. I know we're kind of beating around here. Randall Cobb, what has been his value this year, Tony? He was very disappointing last year. This year, like, I know that just from watching the Packers a little bit, guys, like, Randall Cobb is one of the leaders on this team. I think that's fair to say. Of course, leaders don't get any points in fantasy. But 54 receptions, 558 and 3. What does that make him right now here? Tony, wide receiver 3.
He makes him the third. He's a wide receiver 2/3, but he's in your lineup every week. And the problem is he's the third best wide receiver on Green Bay.
Yeah,
but they pass the ball a ton, so I think you have to look past that. And he's a capable replacement each and every week to put in your lineup.
He's 7 to 11 points every week, and everybody has a role on this passing game now. Devontae Adams is the big play guy. Go downfield, hit him. You know, hit him in a slant, whatever. You know, you want a key down or a big play, Devontae Adams. You want to move the chains, Jordy's that number two guy.
Right.
Randall Cobb is the guy where they're going to throw bubble screens,
right,
quick hitters after the catch. And you see, you know, what can he do anything after the catch? Last week, 3 catches, 84 yards. He did. Last night, you know, they tried to throw him screens and bubble screens and flat passes. And, you know, there was a little bit less of that. So, you know, he's 7 to 11 points every week.
All right.
So, Randall Cobb, right quick, Greg. Let me hop in right here.
Yeah.
Who has more on the season, more points in the PPR, Nunua or Randall Cobb?
It's Corey Lyon.
Yeah, it's Corey Lyon. Yeah. You'd think Randall Cobb. Maybe it's
I'm going to say Nunua.
I guess
Nunua.
Especially after that big game last week.
Tyreek Hill has more PPR points than Randall Cobb. Yep. DeAndre Hopkins has more points in the PPR than Randall Cobb. Willie Snead. So
DeAndre Hopkins.
He's more that wide receiver 3 range. He's coming in around Pierre Garçon, Sterling Shepard, Anquan Boldin. Definitely startable fantasy assets, but I think if you're a Randall Cobb owner, considering the fact that he probably was going in rounds 4 or 5 of your draft, I think it might be a disappointment. Anybody else, Tony?
I would agree with you. You know, I think Randall Cobb went a lot in the fourth, fifth round, Tony.
Yeah, I think he's a disappointment, and I was concerned about him coming in. Last year, people looked at it. He was hurt a lot of last year, and then he got hurt in the preseason, too. And I think it's just a small guy, and the punishment is starting to mount on this guy. And I'll tell you what, he won't be on any of my teams next year.
No, I don't. That's a well that I won't go back to. Now, Adams kid, I'll be in on this Adams kid.
I agree with you. And unfortunately, I think that most people are not going to be on Randall Cobb. I think most people are seeing what we're seeing.
And can we just stop on one thing when we talk about Bigfoot? And I've been guilty as anybody with this guy about talking him up in the past.
Yep.
People still coming into this week were asking me, should he pick up Kristen Michael? It was a party last night when he got one carry. Yes. Please stop
there
with
was.
Kristen Michael.
You know, it's funny you say this, Scott.
I was the first one to tout him. I was the one to open the book. I'm going to be one to close the book.
No more on Kristen Michael. You know what's amazing?
Please.
You know what's amazing, though? Bigfoot all eyes on one team now. It's incredible. Kristen Michael, Jared Cook, and Jeff Janis. They're all together.
That's beautiful.
It is.
You know what? Right?
I remember the guy we used to work with, Dr. Roto?
He would have these
fantasy funerals.
Yeah.
Let's have a fantasy. Well, not steal his stuff because he stole a lot of hours.
No, we can't have a funeral for Kristen Michael because he's going to rise from the dead somewhere. And I'm going to be like, Carl, watch out for Kristen Michael.
I'm telling you, we need to have fantasy funerals for Kristen Michael and for Jared Cook.
He's the walking dead. He will continue to walk the earth.
You know, to me, all these guys, Michael, Cook, Done.
Fantasy funeral?
Can you wait until we're break?
Gracias.
Thirsty,
Mr.
Man.
Florio.
Just wait until we're done, man. Yeah. Wait,
not my father,
minutes.
Man. I'm thirsty.
But we all hear you drinking. Damn. We all have to listen to this?
The biggest crime. Wow.
We don't want to hear it. Unbelievable. On the other side of it.
Go ahead.
I don't want that one. On the other side of things with Philadelphia, Doriel Green Beckham.
Yeah. Nice play, Greg. I was thinking about you while the game
was going on.
Decent play last night.
It's because of you and Tony. You two of you were like, I kind of like Doriel Green Beckham. 6 for 82 last night. Of course, he had 24-yard reception on that last play. That was pretty sweet.
Mm-hmm.
10 targets, though. Jordan Matthews caught a major pass on the left sideline at the end of the first half. Did not return. He hurt his ankle. It looked like it didn't look that bad, but he did not return. Don't know what the MRI said.
He came back briefly.
He did come back briefly.
And then he left again.
Okay.
The problem with Green Beckham, if you just look at the numbers – and you don't watch the game like Tony, you know, says some people do. And he's correct. He's got 30 PPR points in his last two games.
It's good.
But I think they've all come within the last 2 minutes of those games.
No, I don't agree with
so
that.
It's dangerous
I don't agree with that. Only one of these catches came in garbage time last night. One. It was the biggest one, don't get me wrong.
Right.
But before that, he had 5 for 58 for most of this game.
It's not bad, but
that's not a bad game.
You know, last week was in garbage time. And this week was ho-hum until garbage time. I don't know how much confidence you can have in this guy going forward.
But you say that, but if Jordan Matthews is out next week, Doriel Green Beckham plays every single snap, and he's the number one wide receiver on the team then.
Here's another situation where, look, if you guys are right, I'll tell you you are.
Okay.
But I don't see anything from Doriel Green Beckham to lead me to believe that he gets pushed into a more prominent role that he can handle it.
He's in the more prominent role, though.
Yeah, he's running.
If Jordan Matthews is out next week,
right,
and he has to face top cover corners, or they roll the coverage towards him,
I'm not going to like him.
Who are they playing next week? Cincinnati.
I'm going to play this guy.
I can't do it.
Cincinnati's quit. Bengals quit, Scott. What are you talking about?
If Jordan Matthews doesn't play next week, Doriel Green Beckham's the number one wide receiver on this team.
I can't trust Doriel Green Beckham in a larger role.
Who is going? You don't think Doriel Green Beckham?
I did it last night. I literally did it.
You're going against Pac-Man Jones. What are you talking about, Scott? Pac-Man Jones is washed up.
Some guys are not always made to take advantage of a matchup. This guy gets pushed into a prominent role. There is nothing in his NFL career that has illustrated to me that he can handle this.
Hold on, especially
in Week 13.
Hold on, Scotty. Number one, he did it last night.
He had 14 points. Yeah.
Great. What is wrong with that?
Great. That's okay.
What is wrong with that?
Nothing wrong with it.
All right.
But, you know, last week was garbage time, and
fine.
He had a 26-yard catch in garbage time last night.
Right,
you know, look, I'm not the guy who said let's take this away because he earned it last night.
Yep.
But
what makes me
think in a more prominent role, I'm going to get anything more than 5 for 50 next week either.
We have to go to the numbers. We got to go.
And you also said you're not trusting this guy. He's done nothing in his career. He's 23 years old. Right? I mean, he's still like...
I don't care. He hasn't shown me anything yet.
Scott's his second season, Scott.
He's second season. He's 23
years
old.
And it's not like he had a big-time college career because of his off-the-field troubles. Look, he kind of bounced around.
Maybe that means by the middle of next year he might be something, but I'm not putting this guy in my key week 13, you know, in my lineup. I'm not doing it.
I did it last night.
Green Bay. Green Bay was pathetic coming to
last night.
They're
playing Cincinnati next week.
The way people were talking up Green Bay last night, the defense had allowed 30 points in four consecutive games. I was actually expecting more from Dorian Greenback.
Next week, they have the 3-7-1 Cincinnati Bengals.
Let me ask you something. Before last night, if I would have told you that Jordan Matthews would only play a third of the game, and they were playing the Packers before last night, you would have probably projected more than 6-82 for Dorian Greenback.
I don't think I would have. That's a great game.
This is a nice game, Scott. Let me tell you where he finished this week.
He was 18 yards away from 100 yards receiving. See, in football, the variance is because of the touchdown, right? So if the guy doesn't get a touchdown, 14 to 17 points is great. But the touchdown is the swing. Just because he didn't get in the end zone is there. I mean, you're basically one catch away from 100 yards.
Yeah, you know what? It wasn't a terrible game. You guys are right. But there's nothing in his career that's shown me that he can step up into a more prominent role.
You know, I think, again, he's 23 years old. He obviously, he missed all of training camp. What do you mean, so? Is the second year in the league? He's the second year in the league.
He hasn't really shown any upside, though.
Oh, so and that's kind of where we disagree. I think that
what's been his best career game?
I think
his best game, best game of season was last night against a terrible defense.
But that's fine. I mean, I think he's someone that is growing. He's getting more playing time. And if Jordan Matthews is out as a number one option here in Cincinnati, Carson Wentz.
You see one good game from him last night and a garbage time performance from last week. I can't have the confidence yet.
You know who was this weekend's number one scoring fantasy wide receiver?
Who?
Tyreek Hill.
Yeah,
you got confidence in him?
What?
You got confidence in him?
What did you say yesterday? If Jeremy Maclin sits out, I still like this guy.
However, let's not forget, Dorial Green-Beckham probably doubles the snaps of Tyreek Hill.
There you go.
I don't know. I'm obviously just using those round numbers. I don't have that in front of me. But he probably
does.
Have
we not seen more from Tyreek Hill than we have from Dorial Green-Beckham?
No question about that. But if I'm just taking snaps into account, Dorial Green-Beckham's on the field every play.
Well, just because a guy is on the field for every play, though. I mean,
But he's also targeted 10 times last night.
Some guys are more efficient than that.
He was targeted 10 times last night.
Right, I agree with you. He had a good game last night, but I don't think based on one game with a career that hasn't been impressive so far, that all of a sudden I can stick him in my lineup.
Okay, listen, Scott is here to do a service for our listeners, and he's saying that our listeners should temper their expectations if they plan on putting Dorial Green-Beckham in the lineup next week. You got to respect that.
Yeah, I'm with
you. You guys are right. He had a good game last night.
We'll see if it continues. We'll see if he can build upon it. That's all.
I don't have the confidence if he's stuck in a more prominent role than he can.
That's fine. You're cautious. I get it. That's reasonable, Scott.
Okay, I don't want to say Taylor Gabriel because that's crazy. Dontrell Inman or Green Beckham next week.
Yeah. Who's Dontrell Inman playing?
I'm sure it's a good game. I know they have a good schedule here.
I think the Chargers play the Buccaneers.
They're playing the Buccaneers.
Inman.
You go Inman?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Let's take a break here. Dorial Green-Beckham is definitely going to be in this list of guys we go over wide receivers to pick up. He's definitely going to be in that list with a guy like Dontrell Inman, with a guy like Taylor Gabriel. I think it's a good conversation to have. We're going to do that next hour. Coming up, we're going to wrap up our talk here about Monday Night Football, talk a little bit more about Jordan Matthews and Wendell Smallwood and perhaps his role going forward. We do that next here on the Roto Experts. You know what that song reminds me of? I just finished Stranger Things. It kind of sounds like an 80s song.
That show was amazing.
You know, it was amazing? It was good.
I really enjoyed it.
You liked it a lot.
Yes, I did.
You all right, buddy? You all right? All right.
Guy took his headphones off. I thought something happened.
Yeah, yeah. I don't want
to sneeze into that.
No, I appreciate your thought. Here he goes. God bless you.
Bless you.
New studio.
Zoom tight.
God bless you, my friend. God bless you.
I just thought of a joke I can't say on the air.
Thank God.
I'm glad
we're cautious now. Things are improving.
Hey, let me throw another one out at you, Scotty.
Yeah.
Ted Ginn Jr. or Dorial Green-Beckham?
Dorial Green-Beckham. I ain't stupid.
Malcolm Mitchell, Green-Beckham.
Who's Malcolm Mitchell playing next week?
The Patriots play next week. The New England Patriots are Let me look it up. They're not on a bye. They play the that's the Jets play the Colts. What's the Patriots logo? I don't really watch AFC football. Be honest with you. The Patriots play the Los Angeles Rams in New England, Foxborough.
I'm going to go with Malcolm Mitchell, especially okay. Gronk, who's out.
All right, cool.
Maybe out. We don't know that for sure. Yeah. We don't know that for sure.
Not looking good. Well, we'll know from Dr. A tomorrow.
We will. Dr.
You know, Dr. A was on point last week with Gronk. Like, when he was on with us Wednesday, he said, we just got to, you know, our numbers just went up.
Yep.
He might play.
Right.
And 2 days later, they reported he might play.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That's cool. True. Yeah. That's a very good point.
Yeah. One more, Greg.
He didn't play long.
He did not play long.
No, he didn't. Yeah, it's a doctor.
When I spoke to him when I checked the app over the weekend, though, they had him an elevated injury risk, though, even though he was going to play.
One more for Scotty, as far as Dorial Green-Beckham comparisons. Let me look up the team and see who they play next week so I can write on that part. Marquise Wilson or Dorial Green-Beckham?
Who's Wilson play?
San Francisco.
San Francisco.
I'm going to go Wilson.
Marcus Wilson is a guy we're going to have to talk about later on because I'm interested in that one also.
Yeah.
Let's go back, just wrap up Monday Night Football here, and we'll move on to the waiver wire. We'll get into all the guys you're talking about, Corey, because I think they're all worth discussing and if we should be picking them up. And if you pick up guys now, you're either stashing them or hoping for something turns out, or maybe even playing them depending on your situation.
I think you need to play guys. You pick up the waiver wire right now.
Tony brought up a good point yesterday that you try to get the best players on your team, and you're going to go out and get these guys even if you're not playing them.
Yeah.
But some of these guys could be in play to play. We'll talk about that in just a few. But
yeah, you want to prevent too the other teams that you know against from
absolutely
blowing up.
Absolutely,
prevent
Tony.
Defense, as Tony notes, has a different meaning in fantasy.
He's 100% right.
Real football.
Wendell Smallwood last night, 9 carries for 37 yards. Darren Sproles only had 3 carries for 6 yards. This team did not run the ball most of the night. The Eagles have had a tendency, as we've seen, as Ryan Matthews owners know, to just go away from the run. It happened here despite all the words saying Wendell Smallwood was going to be in for a heavy workload last night. We didn't see it. Now, in his 9 runs, I mean, some of them looked pretty good.
He did average over 4 yards a pop.
Yeah, barely, yes.
The thing with him was, though, is, you know, game flow.
Yep.
Number one, you saw a lot of Sproles late. Number two, you know, like, out of his first 34 yards, 21 came on broken tackles.
Which is good, though.
The only thing with him, though, as I see him, is he's still a young back. You know, it's like, I can see the coaches are telling him, be patient, and he's being a little bit too patient.
Well, the thing about it is, this, and I think we saw this coming with Philadelphia. It had the nice start, but you got the rookie head coach, you got the rookie quarterback. Now we're starting to see, like, rookie decisions. The score of this game going into the fourth quarter was 17-13.
Yeah.
Why'd they stop running the football?
Yeah, I was about to say the same thing.
Why'd they stop running the football at that point?
Because that plays right.
Smallwood looked like he can run.
He does, and that plays right into the Packers' hands, right?
Exactly.
They want you to keep throwing, getting into a shootout with
because
them.
Because that's their game
and
plan.
He's not decisive enough, though. Scott, you talked about getting into, you know, Green Bay having ball control offense. That's what Philly needed to do, right? They needed to keep Aaron Rodgers off the field, run the ball, Wendell Smallwood. It didn't happen last night.
Yeah, because after the first drive, they were already down 7-0.
Well, they were tied 7-7 quickly, and it was 14-10 at halftime. So
yeah,
it wasn't.
There
was a feeling in that building, dog.
Desperation.
Kind of like
desperation.
We can't stop them.
That's a good word.
Yeah.
But if you can't stop them, and you're not wrong about that, if you can't stop them, don't you just run the ball, Tony?
Well, that's what Dallas Cowboys, I give them a lot of credit. I don't think their defense is that good because of the running game. And I think Philadelphia, when we go back and we look at the first 4 games, they've been suffering ever since then. And the first 4 games, we saw a lot of Ryan Matthews, right? We need to get back to that instead of having the quarterback throw the ball 40 times a game.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to do that, though, when Matthews is getting hurt, which we've seen. You know what's interesting about Dallas, and this is another conversation, they haven't allowed a 100-yard rusher all season.
I find it interesting, considering the fact
that
I
know a lot of people say
week.
That Dallas defense isn't that good. In some facets, they're certainly not in the back end, but their front seven is aggressive.
They're good from a team perspective, but if you look at Pro Bowl players, they just don't have them, is what I'm saying. They've done a great job with what they have there, but those aren't guys that are going to be in the Pro Bowl or in the Hall of Fame.
No, they'll be in the Pro Bowl. Everybody goes to the Pro Bowl.
Eagles obviously lost Jordan Matthews last night. We said that in the first half. He, you know, 4-for-47, kind of doing the Jordan Matthews thing. Zach Ertz, only 3-for-36 last night, Corey.
I'm so disappointed. You know what? You talk about eliminating kickers from fantasy football. Can we eliminate the tight ends? These guys are so inconsistent. I know
you
we can eliminate
tight ends.
But this is ridiculous.
You want to eliminate Gronk and Jimmy Graham and Jordan Reed and Greg Olsen?
You got 3 consistent ones, and Jordan Reed.
Should we just play with top 5 tight ends?
Here's the thing. Gronk stays injured. Jordan Reed stayed injured. Travis Kelce, his quarterback stinks. Tyler Eifert, you never know. He stays injured too. Kyle Rudolph, you never know. Who else we got?
Olsen.
Olsen is consistent. I like Olsen.
He hasn't
Delanie
been
Walker.
Yeah, Olsen, Delanie Walker.
Delanie Walker.
Mm-hmm. Those are a couple of the consistent options you have at the tight end position.
Olsen hasn't been good recently.
I'm about to say the same thing. Yeah. Olsen is struggling this season too. So besides Walker, and Olsen, Martellus Bennett, has he been a bust?
I think the only ones you can say that like really like soared above or met expectations are like Graham and Delanie Walker.
That's it. Graham's not met expectations. He's had a couple good games.
No, people didn't draft Graham.
Okay, I feel what you're saying in that one. But do you feel comfortable starting him every week?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
When we come back, we're going to look to the waiver wire here and discuss your top players of the week. We know you're prepped for the playoffs. We're doing it too. It's the Roto Experts in the Morning here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning is on now.
Hour number two is underway here on the Roto Experts in the Morning, live from Studio 34 in Rockin' Riley's. Giving the address out here, Scotty. 218 West 35th Street.
Whoa, fifth floor.
There you go.
Whoa.
He gave the address out before, too.
Don't do that. They know where to come to find us at, Scotty.
Dude, this is a public place,
that's what
man.
I said.
When it opens up officially in 2 weeks, people are going to know where to find you.
Yeah, but still, don't let them give them that easy. Make them try to figure it out.
We want people to come down, man. Come on.
I don't want paparazzi, you know what I'm saying? You know,
somebody, you don't want to have to worry about that.
Somebody, husband might come looking for me, you know what I mean? Scott, relax.
Why? Is he getting a divorce?
No, that's not why. Sorry.
No worries. Let's get into the waiver running backs here, because other people are asking about it. It's how much you're going to spend, what you're going to spend, and who you are going to spend it
here
on. So, gentlemen, that to me brings up, you know, a whole bunch of running backs. I don't even know who should be first on this list. But the first guy I listed here is Deion Lewis. And I don't know if Deion Lewis is out there. I'm not sure that he is. But, you know, we'll get into snap counts probably tomorrow, I would think. Maybe later on today. But Deion Lewis, if he's out there, Tony, he's probably worth grabbing, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that when you look at the running back situation, there's not a lot to love there going ahead if they have some matchups that, like, this is interesting to me with the Rams this week, right? We see the front line's pretty good for the Rams. The linebacker's pretty good. It's the defensive backs. Do you take Deion Lewis and throw the ball in this contest? Could set up as a nice matchup for him.
Moving on, your boy Derrick Henry, Corey. The Titans have said they want to get him more about the short yardage situation. He was very, very good this past week. I mean, he made DeMarco Murray get very, very angry. I know they're on a bye this week. It's basically so interesting on how much you spend. Corey, Derrick Henry down the stretch, this has to be somebody you own, right?
Yeah, he should be owned in every league right now.
Okay.
Dump. Straight dump. Go 50, go 75, go 100 if you want to. If you're a Murray on it, you should have him.
But how can you spend everything you got on a black guy you know he's not playing this week? He's going to buy.
You got to go in there and get him. I mean, it depends on how your league is. In my leagues, this is the last fab run right here. This is it.
What about during the playoffs?
No, you don't have fab during the playoffs.
Oh, I have fab during the playoffs.
See, I don't have fab during
the
playoffs.
What is it during the playoffs?
Oh, no, this is your team.
Oh, you can't pick anybody up.
Yeah, this is it right here.
Oh.
You can't pick up anybody up. And anybody dropped tonight?
Right.
Anybody dropped in weeks 11 and 12?
Right.
Can't be picked up either.
Oh, very interesting.
Because it could be, you know, it could be collusion.
That's a good point. Very,
but
very
if Henry's out there, he should be owned in all 12-team leagues at this point. And then DeMarco Murray owner without him is just not doing it right. And the Deion Lewis thing, I like Deion Lewis too.
Okay. Scotty, we've talked about this guy before. I put them together. Adrian Peterson, Amir Abdullah. Mm. Is this something we're getting into?
I'd spend a few dollars on Adrian Peterson.
Okay. I know you have said previously.
I'd flex him if he comes back.
The reason I asked you about AP is the reason that you have previously said, listen, he comes back in week 15, I would flex him. I put him right back into my lineup. That's what you said.
Yeah.
And you're standing by that?
Yes.
Okay. To me, that's a scary proposition. Given the Minnesota extremely offensive scary line, and we haven't seen AP in a while, but you know, you're ready to flex him week 15 if he comes back.
Well, the most cautious I could be is I could do a Sammy Watkins if he comes back in week 15, right?
Sure.
And I see how he does, and if he does well, I put him in my week 16 Super Bowl lineup.
And you make it there, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah. Continuing on, and there's no clear guys. And we're talking about guys coming back from injury, Tony. And that leads me to my next two here on the list. That is Charles Sims and Shane Vereen. Both similar type of roles on their teams, even though if Doug Martin can get hurt, Charles Sims becomes the guy. But Charles Sims, Shane Vereen, both could come back as early as this week, both, or maybe even or next week. Both guys are probably out on the waiver wire. Are they guys that should be picked up?
Yeah, if you really have a need, you could pick them up. I would spend more than a buck on them. Because the problem with both these guys is that you never know when to play them. In one game, the next, it looks like a perfect situation for a running back catching balls on the backfield, and they don't catch anything. So I don't like these guys either at all.
Shane Vereen gives people fantasy football nervous breakdowns.
So it's very difficult to trust that dude this time of year.
Yeah.
But these are the guys. These, unfortunately, right now are the running backs that are out there. You know, so these are the guys you may have to take a chance at if you're desperate, including this next guy, Corey, your boy, Denard Robinson.
Now, I'm not fooling with Denard Robinson.
T.J. Yeldon is banged up. Chris Ivory left this past game injured.
And how much running he is getting carries, and I'm not happy about that. How much running are they going to do? The game plan is so helter-skelter. You never know. The team is up and down. You never know what they're going to be one week as opposed to the next. He's a very risky guy to put in your lineup this time of year. I can see you making a play if you have to.
Right.
But I would think, there's probably not much better on waiver wire right now anyway.
Oh, and maybe the guys are out lot. There.
You like him, Tone?
Yeah. I like him a lot better than Vereen or Sims. If you're looking at that, he's done it before in this Jaguars backfield.
Yes.
And with Ivory being out and T.J. Yeldon, he looks lost in this backfield. And Robinson's good at catching the ball out of the backfield, especially if they play from behind.
Scotty, are you interested in Denard Robinson?
It depends. You know, is my waivers running tonight or tomorrow night? I feel I have more news later today. If I know Ivory's out, though, I do have an interest. And I can't imagine Chris Ivory with a hamstring injury is good news.
No, it's probably not. We know T.J. Yeldon's also banged up.
Yeah.
So maybe is Denard Robinson here to shoot up to the top of this list? Not that his list is all that like good. And I know it depends on your league.
He's
going to
play
Lewis
for
available.
A week and I need a running back. Yeah. You know, it's somebody I got to consider. I mean,
agreed.
All right, would you rather pick up, LeSean McCoy is the workhorse.
Right.
Mike Gillisley. Probably.
He said he's going to be back next week.
You think so?
Yeah, that's what the report was.
I'm looking at Jonathan Williams as a dollar.
They're saying Gillisley is going to be back.
This Denard Robinson thing is intriguing.
Yeah. Nando's going to say, what about Reggie Bush like he did on Sunday?
I'm trying to think. Who could I cut to pick him up? Denard Robinson, because he's available on my waiver wire.
So who can you drop? Give us some names here.
This is the usual unscheduled. Let's talk about Corey's.
The difference is, in
Corey's team.
The difference is we all talk about our teams, obviously.
Yeah.
But in this case, we're talking about Denard Robinson. You may need a running back. You may need to pick him up. So
what are your options?
It could help people to know I will
do is like Terrion Ward and Andre Ellington. I'm not dropping because
why?
Why would you drop Terrion Ward?
But there's two guys in front of him.
Yeah. What if Freeman get hurt?
And then Tevin Coleman's back.
Yeah, when Coleman gets a larger load. And,
When are you ever going to play Terrion Ward? Ever.
And what if Devonta Freeman get hurt?
Then Tevin Coleman's the running back.
I don't have Tevin Coleman.
Yeah, then Terrion Ward get...
the Falcons do!
No, but then Terrion Ward get 5 carries, maybe.
Yeah, he could catch a pass, too.
All right, you want 3 points? Keep him.
All right, so I'll probably end up cutting him or Andre Ellington. Look, Andre Ellington, you never know.
He sounds like he's got a personal connection to Terrion Ward.
If anything happens to David Johnson, I agree with that.
Andre Ellington,
something happens to Devonta Freeman, Tevin Coleman's there.
Yeah. I would either cut Ward or...
You cut Ward for Coleman.
It sounds like he's a hard time getting rid of Ward.
I don't know.
Personal
I agree.
Is he related to
Tyler
you?
Lockett?
Did you see him when you were down in Atlanta or something?
Nah, maybe I cut Tyler Lockett. He ain't doing nothing.
I'm surprised you didn't cut him already.
Agreed.
No, I didn't. I can't find out nobody to cut him for. I got Devin Funches on this team, too.
This team sucks.
This team is very good.
It does.
This team is very good. This team is in
first place.
There's
got to be better something on free agency than Funches, you know.
No. This is 20 roster spots. It's deep, so you know what I'm saying. This I got to pick up a defense this week anyway because I got I'm rolling with the Titans defense, so I don't have time to fool around.
Tony,
but I will put something on Denard Robinson, though. You guys talk me into
it. So there's only one other guy here on this list, and that's in case he was dropped. And he was talking about handcuffs, and Corey obviously mentioned his Andre Ellington handcuff, for instance. D'Angelo Williams is working his way back from knee surgery. And I hope some people dropped him for Fitzgerald Toussaint because you wanted the handcuff for Le'Veon Bell. D'Angelo Williams is on the way back here. He needs to be owned, right? Because if anything happens to Le'Veon Bell, you have an RB1 for the playoffs.
Yeah,
that's basically... Only to me, you're a Le'Veon Bell owner, you go out and get him.
Yeah.
I'm not going to take a risk at this point. One other guy that's interesting that you didn't mention was Burkhead, right?
Rex Burkhead, right? Mm-hmm.
Jeremy Hill was banged up ankle, came back in that game. He's the last man standing, Burkhead. The designated survivor, to say the least. Basically, he's a guy that catches the ball out of the backfield, too. He's a little bit interesting to me if you needed a back.
And don't forget about Alex Collins if he's still out there because Thomas Rawls plays a very physical style and he can go out at any time.
You know, basically, as we've Akeem Hunt's still out there. Lamar Miller's always banged up. And Lamar Miller, guys, he is somebody that can weep. Tony, he's always banged up. He's got this ankle injury. I hate the Texans in general. Is there anything we can do about this other than suffer through Lamar Miller?
But he plays every week, right?
Yeah, he does.
And that's the key right there.
I think when you look at the running back situation and to think that you could go out and replace a guy like Lamar Miller, I think it would be tough. There's just not enough
running
backs to go
around. Miller played
2 weeks
ago when he was more banged up than he was all year, and he played through it.
I need a defensive stream this week.
This is the Corey Hour.
I'm sorry.
We interrupt our waiver segment to go to Corey's defense.
I have D'Angelo Williams on this team, too.
We're going to get the defenses coming up later this hour. He'll see you, Corey. Does anybody have any other running backs? I don't have any other guys. Anybody else comes to mind?
Let's see.
Boy.
All right, we'll take this one now.
Lamar Miller right now.
Yes. Is it Amir Abdullah? Yeah, tell him.
Yeah, Lamar Miller is the 20th back in the league. But the backs are crazy, right? He has 13.88 points per game in a one-point PPR league. If you look at it, the 12th back, which is LeGarrette Blount, is only 1 point ahead of him. That's how many backs are just all the same.
Yep, that's a great point. With all those touchdowns, you're absolutely right.
What about Damian Williams?
If you got Ajayi.
Yeah. If you have Ajayi, Damian Williams.
Should be owned. Other than that, And D'Angelo Williams should be available next week.
You should try, especially if you're in a league like Corey's right now, to have like the top NFL backup to whoever your starter is.
Let's take a break here.
Like, if you have Gore, you should have Turbin.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah. Make sure you have your handcuff go to the playoffs. I agree with that. Yeah. Take a break here. The wide receivers are thankfully a lot more interesting than those running backs, so you don't really want any of them besides perhaps Darnell Robinson. Corey, you mentioned names earlier like Quincy Enunwa, Marquez Wilson, Dontrell Inman, Doriel Green Beckham, Taylor Gabriel, Ted Ginn. All these guys are on waivers. We're going to try to give you an order on how much you should spend next here on the Roto Experts. Here on the Roto Experts in the morning, Corey really wanted to lead with his defensive problems. We'll do that a little bit later on. Just like you can chat with the King later on tonight, RotoExperts.com. Place to be. Chat with the King live for less than $10 inside the exclusive edge package. When you check out with Free Radio, that's the code, Free Radio. You can also read articles from Michael Florio, our producer, starts it, and Waiver Wire column, and then also column from Michael Waterloo as well.
Yes, Stock Report. Rising? Who's falling as your fantasy playoffs begin?
Is it defense?
I know we got it. No, it's not about defense. I know we got to get to
you
the
need
wide
a tight
receivers.
End too?
Oh no, I'm good for tight end. I got Travis Kelce and Tyler Eifert. I know we got to get to the wide receiver discussion, right?
Yeah.
And I got Jared Cook on my other team. All
right.
In the playoffs.
Yeah, you need a tight end.
When it comes to this time of year and running waivers, I don't think that teams that are outside of the mix that are not playoff eligible or not going to be in it, I don't think they should be allowed to pick players up.
I think it depends on your league, though.
I agree.
Because in my league, what I did this year. What I think it's good for every team to be involved and for every team to try to play spoiler. And especially in my league, I have six teams that make the playoffs, but the other six compete, six to eight compete. If you finish in seventh, you get the first pick next year. You mm-hmm. finish in eighth, you get the second pick.
Yep.
So I think you know, teams should operate, you know, kind of like, you know, their games still count. You know, and especially if you've got a rivalry, which you often do, Corey, you want to play a spoiler.
No, but see, the problem is...
I shut them out during the playoffs, though. They shouldn't be allowed to make a move if they're not active.
Yeah, so I totally agree with that. I also think for waivers that you have... People do also highest point score gets money every week.
Yeah.
That's a thing. I mean, you have to give those people an opportunity for that. I think during the season, until the playoffs begin, waivers... I think it's free. You try to win, right? You're trying to win. You're also, remember, some of these bottom feeder teams are playing top teams, playoff positioning. I think they should be able to compete.
For integrity of the league.
Integrity
and stuff like
of the
that.
League. Yeah. But once the playoffs start, I agree, nobody should be able to pick up players except for the teams competing in the playoffs.
Yeah, okay. Just want to make sure that that's the case. But I would take it even further. Like, I would come back to week 12 or 13.
But those teams are... But, like, what if you're fighting for a playoff spot and one of these teams that are not in the playoffs are facing the teams ahead of you? You don't want them to pick up players?
Yeah, that's true, too. So I get it. But definitely not in the playoff weeks. Weeks 14, 15, and 16, if you're not in it, don't be hopping in there to pick up players for the damn consolation game. You know, for the Paul Greco
damn
consolation.
Damn guy wants to build a wall over the waiver wire.
Tell me, does he want to build a wall? Does he want to build a little fence now?
Now it's a fence, it looks like. I don't know what he's doing, Corey.
That Corey Parson here.
Yeah, it's all my fault. Corey, all right, let's go, Parson. Greg. We got some wide receivers because we got some good wide receivers on the waiver wire.
Corey's like,
this week.
Speed up and get to the defenses.
We're getting there. We do have some good wide receivers on the waiver wire. And it starts with the guy that's lightning rod last week, Sammy Watkins, right? Watkins out there. You saw 3 for 80 here. All three of you guys yesterday said, this is it. We're starting Sammy Watkins this week. So Sammy Watkins is out there. You gotta do everything, right, Scott?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, that 62-yard catch, he got classic separation. But like I said, though, with some guys, you know, they're more injury-prone than others, though. It's... You know, Watkins is back. Use him while he's here. But if he suffers another injury, it's not going to shock me. You know, I wouldn't count on him for the stretch run. I take him minute to minute.
I got a team playing for the fourth spot.
It really does all come back to Corey's team.
I'm talking, fellas.
We're going to change the name of this show to Corey's Team in the Morning.
I got a team playing for the fourth and final playoff spot. You know what I'm saying? Head to head, and a team against, you know, matchup, you know, mano a mano. This is a team that had Sammy Watkins that I cut. The team that I'm playing this week is the team that picked Sammy Watkins up.
How badly do you want to win?
Sammy's going to have a revenge game against you.
So there you go right there. Yeah. So Sammy Watkins is going to kick me in my ass this week. But for those of you who Sammy Watkins is on your waiver wire, I would go ahead and pick him up. I think the snaps and the targets will only increase from this point forward. So Watkins is good to go.
There you go. Sammy Watkins, pick him up. Now, what about Tony, the guys in Cincinnati? I want to start where we were last week. Sammy Watkins and the guys in Cincinnati. Tyler Boyd, Brandon LaFell. Do you want anything to do with this now? Do you trust either of these guys anymore?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're both serviceable. I don't think they're anything great there. I would probably take a look at one of the other wide receivers we're going to talk about a little later. But those guys would definitely be in the top three or four in discussions. And if I put them again on my list and I made sure I got a wide receiver. You know, I was looking at a team. I still have I have Case Keenum and Jay Cutler on my team because every week I put in fab bids that I don't win.
Yeah, it's pretty embarrassing. I would just drop them. Just drop them so you have nobody.
It's not embarrassing. I just look at them there.
Exactly.
Say,
you don't want to look at them.
Why not?
Why do you want to look at them on your team?
I mean, they're pretty. Cutler's a good-looking dude. Right? Good-looking dude.
Scott, can you pick up Tyler Boyd and play him?
I think so, but I'm not messing with Brandon LaFell. I told you that already.
All right. Those are Cincinnati guys.
Cincinnati look like a team that's on the verge of rolling over.
I agree. I agree with you.
Verge?
Yeah, last week we spoke about Quincy Enunwa for a little bit. He was dropped in a lot of leagues and people thought Bryce Petty would be the starter.
Yep.
What we know is that on Monday night, you know how I love those Monday night games. On Monday night, the Colts and the Jets play. And Ryan Fitzpatrick will be back in the saddle again. It's a good matchup for Quincy Enunwa. You got to like him this week, Corey.
Yeah, I think Quincy Enunwa is a guy. If he's on your waiver wire, go out and make that play for him. You can put him in there. You can start him this week. If you're a TJ, if you're a T.Y. Hilton owner,
yeah,
and Enunwa's on your waiver wire,
yeah, you got to do it.
You got to do it because Hilton cannot play this, may not play this upcoming Monday night, and Enunwa could be your guy, your go-to guy in that spot right there. So Quincy Enunwa is on your waiver wire. I would make a play for him. And if you want, and if you playing against a guy who may have T.Y. Hilton in that situation, you might want to pick him up too to block him because now it's time to start playing mind
Tony's
game with Jones.
Prevent defense.
Yeah, the prevent
defense. Next 3 weeks for the Jets: Indianapolis, San Francisco, Miami.
Mm-hmm. That answers the question right there, huh, Scotty?
Yeah, Miami's got a good defense, but the Jets always get up for that game no matter what their record is.
You guys are talking about prevent defense. Let's go to Mike in Chicago this morning. We had a very similar question. Mike, good morning.
Guys, how's it going?
What's up, Mike?
What's up, Mike?
I usually don't do this, and I got a feeling Scott is going to hate this idea, and Corey's going to think it's awesome. But I saw Colin Kaepernick sitting out there on the waiver wire, and I have no intention of using him. I've got Drew Brees, and I've got Kirk Cousins. I think that'll get me through the fantasy playoffs, but I just feel like that's a liability for somebody else to pick him up.
Mm-hmm.
Wondering if you guys would drop either James Starks or Arizona defense, knowing that I got Miami defense, Rob Kelly, Mark Ingram, and Carlos Hyde to back him up.
So basically, he's trying to play prevent defense here.
I would do it.
See, they misread it. Like earlier in the year, when you need to build depth, you know, I'm against it. But this time of year, when you play, talk about playing prevent defense, I'm okay with it. You know, why are you going to carry Arizona?
Exactly. You go out there and get him because you don't leave a QB1 sitting on the damn waiver wire for him to get picked up and beat you in week 16. You know what I'm saying?
All right, I feel better about it now, guys.
That was easy.
That's a player hater move right there. And I'm a player hater when it comes to stuff like this. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I love it. I do all of that stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If I get a tip that somebody's trying to make a trade, I email the league, like, don't trade with them. You know what I'm saying?
You don't care.
I'm that guy. Yeah, I'm that guy.
That's why I don't like vetoes in leagues, because people will not veto a trade for the right reason. They'll veto it because they don't want the guy ahead of them.
Then you're going to love what we're talking about a little bit later on then. Mm-hmm. That's what you feel. Okay. Back to the wide receivers. Quincy Enunwa, everybody loves. Dontrell Inman, Scotty, you talked about him a little bit before. San Diego, Tyrell Williams left this game early with a shoulder injury. Now, Mike McCoy says he's fine. He'll be good to go. Travis Benjamin, obviously not recovered from that knee injury. Dontrell Inman passed concussion protocol. He's good to go. How much do you like Dontrell Inman this week?
I like the matchup this week. I think it's possible you can roll him out as a wide receiver 3. Tyrell Williams has the shoulder. McCoy's saying, no, he does expect him to play.
I just said that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you like Dontrell Inman more than you like Tyler Boyd?
Well, that's a push. I think I'll get a better floor from Boyd, but higher ceiling from Inman.
Do you like Dontrell Inman more than Quincy Enunwa?
No.
Okay. And we know you're all right. Do you like Dontrell Inman more than our next guy, Marquez Wilson?
I answered that an hour ago, but no.
You answered Marquez Wilson versus Dorial Green-Beckham.
Corey asked me that, yeah.
All right, so let me say this right quick with Inman. He has a good schedule going down the
stretch. Very good. Mm-hmm. Tony, you saw the connection between Matt Barkley and Marquez Wilson this past week.
Matt Barkley.
Say what you will, but you saw it.
He was a QB1 this week.
They were moving down the field, these guys.
Never figured this game out.
For real. Marquez Wilson, what, 10 catches this past week?
Yep.
All right. Tony, what do we think about him? I mean, how confident are we in him right now?
He's my number one wide receiver. He'd be the number one guy to pick up. They're going to play from behind. He's going to get a ton of targets. There's no one left in that Bears passing game. He's the number one guy I'm going to pick up.
I don't disagree with you. Like, you rather have him than Enunwa and Inman and Boyd?
Well, Enunwa maybe is the only one there. He's on teams in my leagues. But he's be the only one that it would be close.
Okay.
I would probably lean towards Enunwa.
Okay, but these other guys, you're taking Marquez Wilson over.
Yep.
I get it. You're playing San Francisco. You're going to be able to throw on them. I mean, he's somebody that probably should be picked up and spend a lot of money on, Corey.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. He's got to go into your and I think he's a guy that you could play right now because of the looks like he's going to get a big target share, a team that's going to be playing from behind.
Absolutely.
Yeah. He dropped a touchdown reception last week and ended up kicking one of the security guys in the butt.
Oh,
yeah,
right.
Really? After it.
Yeah.
Really? I didn't see that.
Yeah.
But are we sure they're going to be playing from behind, by the way? Play San Francisco. Like, I don't know they're playing from behind, guys.
Oh, I'm sorry. I misspoke on that one.
Yeah, but it's 1 week only.
No, I know, but I'm looking at this week to week here. I'm looking at this, if I can pick up Marquise Wilson now and play. And I know you're right, Tony, picking up guys, stashing them, getting the best players. But this week, I mean, are you confident even if they're not playing from behind?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Making sure. I was just making sure.
If they get ahead, they might throw a touchdown pass to Marcus Wilson, right, Tone?
San Francisco's allowed two touchdown passes in every game except one.
All right, so there we go. Hopefully one goes to Marquise Wilson this time. Will Fuller could be out there. He's finally healthy. But I think I'd rather have these other guys, to be honest with you. Even though Will Fuller's matchup against Green
Fuller's
Bay is
kind of
good.
Boom or bust. He can look really good 1 week and then go quiet the next.
Plays Green Bay this week. It's a good spot for him, though.
It is a good spot, yeah.
Kenny Stills, any interest in him, Tony?
Oh, man, he's so tricky.
Yeah.
No, he's a home run hitter. It's tough to get anything from 1 week to the next. No, I wouldn't.
He's the Chris Carter of fantasy football, right, Tony?
Chris Carter, that's very good. Good on your part there.
Yeah. Chris Carter,
not good enough, though. If Tony really likes you, call me astute.
To clarify, Scott's talking about the Chris Carter, the baseball player, because also Chris Carter that played football, so you can't really call him the Chris Carter. It's very confusing.
Yeah. Tony knows what I'm talking
about. Well, I understand that. I'm hoping our listeners do.
I didn't know what he was talking about.
What do you mean, Greg? Why are you insulting our listeners? They're very astute, and they play on the same
words. There's that word.
I'm also making sure one of our co-hosts do, too.
Jesus. Tyreek, I forgot about him.
Tyreek Hill obviously has to be owned. Tyreek Hill obviously has to be owned. We talked about him. He's probably owned everywhere.
I give Joe Pisapia on the Sunday show and a black book all the credit. He called Tyreek Hill weeks before anybody saw it coming, and I gave him crap about it.
Okay. So he's out there. You're going to have to pick
him up. Confession?
You have no choice but to pick him up and remember to play him. And then we get the Dorial Green-Beckham, man. And I think that Dorial Green-Beckham is the guy that needs to be picked up as well. I mean, there's a lot of these wide receivers that are all very similar. So when we're done, I'm going to ask you to rank them how you want them because I don't know the answer here. Dorial Green-Beckham's on here. Taylor Gabriel is another name. Ted Ginn, the home run hitter. All these guys are jumped together.
I can't do Ted Ginn.
I need to know how you rank them and how much you're spending. Corey, I want to start with you.
All right, thank you. I was going to get a pen and write it down.
Well, we don't have time for
that. We don't, though.
They're all on the rundown. You know that, right?
Because you don't send it every day.
It's the same document every day.
Listen, I lost my damn job for not doing the same thing, and now it's the same, and now I've never seen a rundown. Anyway,
old wounds resurfacing.
You wonder why
on the Roto Experts in the morning.
You know why I make this thing? Nobody reads it. It's unbelievable.
They tell me about it. Sammy Watkins obviously is number one. If he is out there, I would go Watkins. I would go Malcolm Mitchell at number two.
Okay, I meant to say Malcolm Mitchell, sorry.
I would go Watkins, Malcolm Mitchell, Anunua.
Okay.
Then I go Watkins, Malcolm Mitchell, Anunua, then Wilson, and then the rest.
All right, give it to me one more time. So Watkins is a class of his own. We know that, all right?
Watkins in
the
class
Watkins
of his own.
Let's take Watkins out. Take Watkins out
here. I might have to do this over at some point. But okay, take Watkins out. Watkins in the class of his own.
Yes.
Take Watkins out.
Yes. The rest of these guys are all together, in my opinion. So I need to know how to order them, in your opinion, please.
All right. I would go. I got to go a Nunwa.
One, Quincy Nunwa.
Two, I would go. Work with me. Malcolm Mitchell.
Two, Malcolm Mitchell. Three, Marquise Wilson.
Three, Marquise Wilson.
Okay, so you're leaving out Dontrell Inman. You're leaving out Taylor Gabriel. You're leaving out Dorial Green-Beckham. Is that cool?
Yes. And okay. I'm not saying they don't deserve to be picked up. That's just my top three.
Those are the top three you're spending the dough on. You know, people don't have a lot of dough right now, so those are the guys you're spending money on.
Those are the guys you got to mix and match the way you can.
Okay, Scotty.
Now, you're going to have some team in sixth place, seventh place. They got plenty of money to come scoop one of these guys up, and I think that's ridiculous.
Oh, they're fighting
for what, Greg? The teams that are in the hunt don't have that much money. That money should be allocated. Those players should be left aside for the players in the hunt.
But if you're fighting for a playoff spot, you don't want this team in seventh place to try to knock somebody out for you?
Yeah, that's true, too.
Okay. There you go. Scott.
Ticked off.
I go Tyreek Hill number one, Anunua number two, Marcus Wilson number three, Dontrell Inman number four, Tyler Boyd number five.
All right, that's good. We'll leave it at five.
Taylor Gabriel number six.
We can stop
Dorial Green-Beckham number seven. Malcolm Mitchell number eight. Will Fuller number nine. No, these are real rankings, and I'm not ranking Ted Ginn. I'll stop there.
I don't blame you for not ranking Ted Ginn.
All right, Tony, in order from you, please.
I have Marquise Wilson number one, Quincy Enunwa number two, Malcolm Mitchell three, Dontrell Inman number four, and Taylor, Mr. Boyd, I have number five. Inman, did he go out with David Bowie, Scott?
No, he did. He did not.
He went out with David Bowie.
It sounds like
Mick Jagger.
It sounds like, guys, that everybody kind of feels that Quincy Enunwa and Marquise Wilson, outside of Sammy Watkins, that Quincy Enunwa and Marquise Wilson are the guys you got to own, or the big two here, right? After those two, there's a little bit of different. I think Malcolm Mitchell, for everybody, actually, is right up there next. So Malcolm Mitchell.
No, I had him lower.
You had him a little bit lower, Scotty?
In my nine, I had him like eight.
Oh, you had me. I apologize. Yeah. I got confused. You had nine people on the list. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to be comprehensive here.
Well, that's what you have the column for. I had a chat tonight at RoadExperts.com.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's about time you promoted it.
Inman, Marquise Wilson are the big two. After that, depending on how you like it, Malcolm Mitchell, Tyler Boyd, and who did you have next, Scotty? Dontrell Inman, right?
I had Tyreek Hill number one.
Well, Tyreek Hill, but I was assuming he was on. That's all.
Yeah.
That's the only reason. Okay, let's take a break here. When we come back, we'll find some tight ends and talk a little defense as well. It's the Roto Experts in the Morning
Get
here.
The defense already.
On the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We're back here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. A lot of these wide receivers, you got to include in there. Marquise Wilson, Quincy Enunwa, Sammy Watkins, Tyler Boyd, Tyreek Hill. No love for my man Dorial Green-Beckham, though. No love at all.
DGP.
No love.
Nah, I don't think he's with those guys right now.
Is Chris Hogan with those guys?
No, God, no. I'm done with the Chris Hogan thing.
You think you have to, like, drop Ryan Matthews? You have to hold on to that guy.
I would hold on to him. I just would hold on to him. That's the way I'm looking at it.
I want to, like, create space on my team, and I can't do it. I guess I just dropped Jared Cook, that guy. As we get to the tight ends, Jared Cook was a massive Bigfoot disappointment again. I spent like $1 million on him last week.
Me too.
I listened to you. I listened to you, Corey.
I was $1 million that shouldn't have been spent.
Corey, you're an expert. I listened to you.
Yeah.
And that's what happened.
Thank you. Thank you. This is how my friends treat me.
Your best friends.
Yeah, exactly.
Now I'm trying to find a new tight end, guys. Because even though Andrew Luck's coming back on Monday night, I don't know if I can trust Jack Doyle right now.
Man, you know, Jack Doyle is
two bad games in a row.
I don't know what the deal is. So I look at the tight ends, and the first one I see on my list here is Lance Kendricks. We trust in Lance Kendricks, Jared Goff against the New England Patriots, Tone?
Yeah, absolutely. I think Lance Kendricks actually is going to get most targeted in that offense going forward in this game with Jared Goff at quarterback. Yeah, he's absolutely a guy you could play. I would pick him up over those guys you just mentioned. Absolutely. Put him in your lineup. Get him in there.
All right. But I am dropping Jared Cook. And
you're going to drop Cook after 1 week?
What the hell am I holding on for him for?
What kind of reason do we have to hold on to him?
Yeah.
He might bounce back.
You sound like Nando now. You've been on the Sunday show too much.
He's like, he might bounce back.
How many times have we said that, though?
You know what?
I know.
You know the thing is, Aaron Rodgers and Mike McCarthy got pissed at him last night. He was playing almost every snap, and then he dropped that ball that reviewed in the fourth quarter, and he was barely on the field again.
Yeah. They reviewed and they said, it's Jared Cook. We can't give it to him.
They kind of did.
I know who I do like, though.
Who do you like?
If you want to pick up a tight end, if he's on your way.
Oh boy.
Vance McDonald.
He's there, too, and he's the next guy I want to talk about. Who would you rather have, Lance Kendricks or Vance McDonald?
I have Lance Kendricks. I just think he has a more opportunity to get in the end zone. I played Vance McDonald in daily last week. He always finds ways to pick up yards.
Yeah,
I think Kaepernick looks to him on some key downs.
He also lost a couple targets to Garrett Celek. He also lost to Garrett Celek last week, which is annoying.
Yeah, early in the game, Celek had a touchdown pass.
Sometimes in those goal line sets, though, they'll run two tight ends.
That's true. That's true. I don't know. I mean, to me, I look at Vance McDonald, I look at Lance Kendricks, I'm trying to find lightning in a bottle here, right? Those guys are out there. Will Tye is out there. Ladarius Green is out there.
No Will Tye, no.
No Will Tye for you?
No, he didn't do anything against Cleveland. I'm done with him.
What about Ladarius Green? I know you were in on him for a while.
That was a few weeks ago. Yeah. That was a different era.
2 for 67 last week. To me, Vance McDonald and Lance Kendricks are the two guys right now, right? Like, those are the two guys. And what about Tony?
What about Josh Hill?
Well, I'll get to Josh Hill in a second.
Okay.
Tony, what about A.J. Derby?
I'm going to I was impressed by A.J. Derby last week.
Okay.
I guess the Kansas City Chiefs.
Right.
That being said, I am not going to participate in the A.J. Derby sweepstakes.
Okay. Scott.
Somebody I'm going to keep on my watch list.
Keep him on the watch. Are you going to drop him from your team? You own him with two teams, I believe you said.
I don't think I am, especially to where I get 1.5 points for a tight end. I'm not.
So you're keeping A.J. Derby. All right, yeah. Corey, you brought up Josh Hill here. Now, Josh Hill took a lot of snaps away from Kobe Fleener here. They ran two tight end sets, and Kobe Fleener's mostly on the bench for them. Now, Kobe Fleener, I assume, gets his rollback. Tony, you seemed pretty confident in that yesterday. Can you buy Bigfoot Josh Hill?
No, I wouldn't buy him, but it's a great matchup for the tight end.
Yeah.
If you think there's any chance that he's going to get opportunities, or they both could, I mean, you saw them both get 10 targets in that game, and they caught 10 balls. If you're really hurting, he's not. You could take a shot. It's a good matchup for the tight end.
It's desperation, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's a desperation ad right there, and you're really just hoping for the touchdown, you know what I'm saying? As you said, they got the matchup against Detroit in the Dome, so should be some fireworks, and you know, you want it to be enough to go around, but don't call here next week talking about you told me to play Josh.
No, because you didn't. Yeah. But I'll tell you who to play, right? I'll tell you who the number one guy is. We've kind of like told you a bunch of the guys are all in the same spot. The number one tight end you got to pick up this week is Vernon Davis, because Jordan Reed, I assume, is going to be out with his grade 3
not looking good
shoulder injury. Right, we'll talk to Dr. A about that tomorrow. But Vernon Davis is out there. You got to pick him up and start him, right, Scotty?
Yeah. Cousins been throwing a lot and looking for him in key situations. Sometimes even when Reed has been in there.
Tony, are you going to pick up, and I don't know, what about Hunter Henry? I mean, Antonio Gates, he was not start. I mean, he wasn't targeted last week. Hunter Henry at 2 for 20, but did have a touchdown. Did Hunter Henry be someone you pick up?
Yeah, absolutely. If he's on the waiver wire, he's a guy, even if Antonio Gates is 100% healthy, they look for guys to throw the ball to in that offense, and Hunter Henry's a viable, healthy alternative. So, yeah, he's a guy that absolutely would put on my roster. I would like him better than all those guys we just talked about.
What about C.J. Fedorowicz? I don't think he's out there.
He shouldn't be.
He should be. All right, and one more guy that also probably shouldn't be but could be, Corey, making Cameron Braid again.
Yeah, you got to. If he's there, go all the way in. Because you know what I'm saying? I think he's the second target in that offense. And you know how I feel about that offense.
I do. So none of these guys are available in my league outside of Vance McDonald, Ladarius Green, and Lance Kendricks.
I got Vance McDonald and Dwayne Allen. And I'm rostering Bigfoot right now. So I may have to make a play for him.
Now, would you rather play, Corey, this week, Dwayne Allen or Jack Doyle? Or neither.
The Jets have been burned by tight ends this year.
That's why I'm interested in Jack, in one of these guys, but I don't know which one to start.
Jack Doyle.
Because you're loyal.
I'm loyal to Doyle.
I like that. I like that. All right, Corey, this is the moment you've been waiting for.
Oh, you're talking about some defense.
I want to find a defense.
Wait, should we do kickers first?
No, we should not. I want to find a defense for Corey Parson.
This is going to be tough this week.
Who you got on the waiver wire, buddy?
I got Atlanta.
Wait, who are they playing?
Kansas City.
Atlanta versus KC.
You know.
I don't like Atlanta versus KC. Remember, you got to look for sacks and turnovers here.
Detroit versus New Orleans.
Nah.
No.
Nah.
Oakland versus Buffalo.
Some potential for turnovers there.
Pittsburgh versus the Giants.
No.
The Saints versus Detroit.
Maybe better than the Saints.
Yeah, man. The Niners versus Chicago. Niners don't turn nobody over. Cincinnati versus Philadelphia.
Like Barkley versus the 49ers. Who's going to suck worse?
Cincinnati versus Philadelphia. You know, we feel we're very sad for Carson Wentz. Because he don't have no weapons. 10 games in his NFL career.
Right, very sad. Yeah.
He's like Sweden.
I got the
Colts. They don't have any weapons in Sweden, right?
They don't need any weapons. Yeah. So I got the Colts versus the Jets. I got the Cowboys versus the Vikings, the Jets versus Indy, and the Jags versus Denver. I think it's the Cowboys.
I think it's the Cowboys, too.
I think it's the Cowboys.
I think it's the Cowboys as well.
For the most turnovers and sacks?
They're not going to, the Cowboys ain't going to turn you over. They'll get some sacks,
though.
That's
the thing, though. Yeah.
So, other guys, other teams that I've had on my list here, besides Dallas, Green Bay against Houston.
Okay, I can see that. Brock Osweiler is a disgusting quarterback.
Okay. Yeah, but Green Bay could still let up 30 to that team.
But Brock Osweiler should turn the ball over.
He should turn the ball over.
He should.
Philadelphia against Cincinnati, the other way.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
That's the one I've liked the most so far.
Okay. I had Dallas, Oakland, you said, Corey. I didn't hate Oakland. And the Washington football team. Interesting, the Washington football team.
Who DC got this week?
I didn't write that down, of course.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Let me look that up. San Diego out there?
No, San Diego. Washington's got Arizona.
Washington's got Carson Palmer in Arizona.
Yeah, that's not bad. DC don't turn nobody over either, though. Where's that game at? That game's in Washington, or that game on the road for how come I can't find a damn schedule for week 13?
Did you Google week 13 schedule?
Yeah, I'm looking at it, but I don't see the little racist logo that Washington football team has.
Oh. The Washington football team play in Arizona at 4:25.
In Arizona. Well,
and these are the options you have, man.
Yeah. I don't want Washington versus Arizona.
What about Miami against Baltimore?
Carson Palmer sucks, though.
Yes.
He does.
But then you're also playing against David Johnson, though.
Yeah, that's true, too. David Johnson don't suck.
Yeah.
You said what about Miami?
Yeah.
I like Miami. I think the defense has been playing well lately. I think I would go Miami over those, all of those options.
Yes.
The ones that I've been mentioning.
Kind of like Dallas, though.
I'm feeling Dallas on Thursday night at Minnesota.
Kind of like Dallas more than Miami. You like Dallas more than Miami?
I think I like Miami because Miami could turn people over.
Yes.
With Dallas, you need Lucky Whitehead to take one back.
Too.
Yeah.
Dallas can sack the quarterback, though. Their pass rush has been better recently. Remember, I watched the Dallas Cowboys, Scott.
Yeah.
Tony, you have any opinion here?
On the defense side, you know what? I wouldn't be against Pittsburgh against
Giants?
The football Giants.
Really?
They're going to throw the ball in that game. They're never going to be able to run the ball. They're going to throw the ball 40-plus times in that game. Eli Manning has the ability to turn it over. Sometimes that offensive line is not great. I would take a shot with the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Mm. We're all just staring at our computers here.
Yeah, because everybody needs a defense. You know,
everybody with you. We need a defense.
Who wants to lose this 2-1? Nobody wants to lose in Week 13 of regular season finale. No. Not us guys that are in it. You know what I'm saying?
No.
We need this thing to work out, and defense is an important part of it.
It's hard.
And then, you know, I was rolling the Titans defense. I was rocking with the Titans D. You know what I'm saying? But now they're
on a bye.
They're on a bye.
Can't play them.
I have Ryan Suckup in my league. I got a kicker. You might have to go out and replace
Yeah, you got to go get a kicker last minute.
It's crazy.
Delanie Walker owners are going to need to do something too this
Absolutely.
Week.
Absolutely. I hope they're
How about DeMarco Murray?
That's killer. I mean, that's a freaking killer.
Wow. Can you imagine having your big
insane.
Dog on week 13?
Trying to make the playoffs?
And you're trying to get in?
It's crazy.
Roger Goodell.
The Greenwich Street Tavern League, that's a 14-team league. There's 12 teams with a shot to make the playoffs.
Wow.
That's pretty cool.
12 teams in a 16 playoffs.
Who's Buffalo got this week?
Oakland.
Hmm. Buffalo is second in the league in sacks, but they're going to give up a lot of points.
Yeah, they are.
Well, you got a quarterback that's playing with two dislocations.
That's true, and that pinky, absolutely.
Yeah, that's not a bad play, actually, yeah. Scott. You might have stumbled. You might be like the Ponce de Leon of fantasy.
America!
You know what else, too? I wouldn't sleep on Carolina either, going to Seattle. They're third in the league in sacks with 32.
And Seattle's offensive line is very banged up.
Yeah. Horrific offensive line. And Russell Wilson playing like a rookie quarterback. I feel bad for Russell Wilson. I'm sad.
Not as sad as I feel for Tony Romo.
Oh, yeah, Tony Romo, that is a sad situation.
Russell's had one bad game, so.
Mm-hmm.
We got to take a break here. We come back. We'll try to keep analyzing our computers. We'll go up with some headlines from yesterday. We'll continue on here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. We are back here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Greg Sussman, Scott Angle, he's the king. Corey Parson, the fantasy executive. And Tony Cincata as well. Kick Sealy is coming up next. He's been a top three in the Fantasy Pros Accuracy Challenge for the last 3 years. Benny Ricciardi has won so many DFS tournaments that it's almost cool to tell a girl that a bar. That's a fact. Well, almost. And Joe Piscopia, well, he's just the best-selling fantasy author of the Fantasy Black Book. Put the three of them together, and you get what is arguably the most on-point fantasy advice show in the world. It's On Target Fantasy, where accuracy meets precision, and they get drunk and have a baby named Championship. Their family name. On Target Fantasy, every weekday, 12 p.m. Eastern, only on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, on demand at fntsy.com/radio, or available for download on iTunes. Corey, Scott, you guys have been studying up during the break here, trying to find a defense worthy of your teams. You're still studying.
I think I'm going with Dallas. And I'd be honest with you, I kind of got off the defense because I'm looking at I got another problem on this team. I had another problem on this team where T.Y. Hilton cannot play this week. Mm. So I need.
Well,
they're
saying he's optimistic. I think we still got to wait on that. They're saying he's optimistic that he can play. It's kind of early in the week to assume that anybody won't play.
But still, the waiver decision had to be made tomorrow night.
The problem I got with Dallas is they're 25th in sacks.
They're horrible.
Yeah, and they don't get turnovers.
They don't turn the football over. Period.
Yeah.
But I mean, they shouldn't get you a donut.
Yeah, but there's no upside there, though.
Tony,
only really in points allowed.
You have money. If you have money left right now, you got to spend every dime this week, right? You can't leave any money left over.
Yeah, the only thing that you have to be cognizant of, knowing your rules, that when you get to the playoffs, do you have to, if you need to pick up a guy, can you? And do you need money to do that? So you might want to leave a couple bucks.
Because I look at this. And I right now, in one league where I am fighting for my life in a playoff spot, I have $27 left, which is a nice amount here. And my waivers continue on into the playoffs. And, you know, waivers don't change for us. Now, the teams in the playoffs right now, the first place team has $12 left. The team right below me right now is $17. The team right below them has $39. So I am right in the mix. I have the second most money in the league. I don't know what to do with my money. Do I go all out trying to block someone right now, or how does that work?
I got $24, and right. I'm going through, and I'm looking, and I'm putting bids in for everybody that I think's pickable, because exactly what you just said. I'm in a situation where I've got to win, and I need a couple teams to lose.
Okay.
So what I basically is, I don't want to leave a player out there that they can use.
Right, absolutely. So I'm looking at this, right, and the team right below me, who I actually played this week, they might need a wide receiver. I mean, like they have hit by byes with Delanie Walker this week and Terrell Pryor. And I play him this week, and he sits here right now. Jerry Macklin's in his lineup. I don't know if he's going to play. Devontae Parker's in the lineup. We're not sure about him. So he may well need a wide receiver. He's got $17 left. Marquise Wilson is out there. I'm thinking I should spend $18 to make sure he doesn't get Marquise Wilson.
You can look at it definitely for one game. I think that's a great approach. I think you could definitely look at it like that.
But am I screwing myself over by getting rid of most of my fab money to go get this guy? And I don't even know. I don't even know if he wants him.
Yeah, you can't take it with you, so I don't have a problem with that. The only thing that it's going to let you, if you get to the playoffs, you might regret it.
Right.
To week 15.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, a running back went down. And it's just a couple of you playing there. That's why I don't like having waivers allowed in the playoffs.
You just think teams should be locked. Your team is your team.
Yeah. I think week 13, you need to make your decisions, and you get stuck by it. The only problem I would have is if the quarterback, like if a guy only had one or two quarterbacks and they both get hurt,
right.
What are the odds of that, though? I'd hate to have a team in the playoffs without a quarterback.
I had a league where
it was a rule that you couldn't have more than two quarterbacks.
Right.
And somebody picked up a third quarterback in Super Bowl week, and the guy won the Super Bowl, and the other team complained that he shouldn't win the Super Bowl because he broke a rule by having the third quarterback on his roster, and he complained so loudly that they took the Super Bowl trophy away and the money away from the team that had won. And I said,
That's horrific.
I said it didn't affect the outcome of the game.
That's horrific.
Yeah.
That's really interesting.
That's crazy. Yeah. I'd have been to somebody's house with my pistol.
But
I didn't know you owned a pistol.
But he broke the rules.
What kind of pistol?
He broke the rules.
Well, isn't this kind
of
like
immigration? He broke the rules, but it didn't affect the outcome of the game, though.
I mean, those aren't legal citizens that come to America, but they're not harming anybody.
Hold on.
It's the same.
Forget, let's not go down that road. Let's go down this road instead. Isn't it more like Deflategate? Isn't that more like Deflategate, where he broke a rule, but it didn't affect the outcome of the game? It's more like Deflategate.
That guy should get his money back. That guy should get his money, Scott.
That happened 16 years ago. I think that's too late.
Maybe next year he can get suspended for a couple games.
Take some fab money away or draft money away from him.
Yeah. He'll take away a Super Bowl. I think that's the answer.
This is not like immigration.
No, it's like Deflategate is what it's
Listen
like.
Listen to this, fellas. The team I'm playing for this last playoff spot in this online championship, his running backs are Rex Burkhead, Kenyon Barner, Chris Ivory, T.J. Yeldon, Isaiah Crowell, and DeMarco Murray.
So you got to feel really good.
Yeah, I know it would suck.
He's got Crowell and Murray on a bye.
Not to mention, his wide receivers are like Tyrell Williams, Alshon Jeffrey, DeSean Jackson, DeAndre. How is this team even in the running still? This team stinks. Feel good about this now, fellas. Yeah. I'm going to sleep. I'm putting my feet up, Greg.
Put your feet up.
Right up here on this
Watch Kenyon Barner. Kenyon Barner's got a monster game now, right?
Kenyon Barner breaks a single game rushing record.
That would be unfortunate. That would be unfortunate.
Kenyon Barner, 4 touchdowns. Nobody's done that since Ricky Waters.
We'll take a break. When we come back, we're talking strategy about playing prevent defense. I'm going to take prevent defense to a whole nother level. I'll talk about that with Scott, Corey, and Tony coming up next. Oh, hello there. If you're enjoying the Roto Experts in the Morning on demand, well, there's a whole nother hour that you could listen to live every single weekday morning from Monday to Friday. If you want more laughs from Corey Parson, listen to the Roto Experts from 7 to 10 a.m. Eastern every single weekday morning. It's the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.